to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up on a 2-hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Vote with an office, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates to feed their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Yes, sir.
What up out there, our War Room family? You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports on that War Room Sports Podcast Network. I'm your boy, Devin McMillan. I'm at the round table as usual. You know, we're recording. Anybody listening live might think it's a little strange. Special day and time, but I'm at the round table. So my guys, Jimmy the Blueprint, and B on the Echo Chamber. NFL camps are underway. We got some NFL topics to cover. We'll also talk with Fred Perdue in a few minutes to begin this season's college football coverage. So keep it locked right here. For the next 60 minutes or so, we're going a little shorter as we discuss an array of topics in the world of entertainment. So if you want to holler at us throughout the show, join us right now in the JW Realty Room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. You can join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call us directly in about 30 minutes or so when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-4100. A quick reminder before we get started, when we're not on the air, we're going to check out the greatest podcast network ever created, besides a critically acclaimed podcast on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. You can also listen to shows such as The Broad Street Line. Shout out to those guys, Roy and Chris, The Tissue and the Tape Hip Hop Show with Phil Savage, No Look Past Podcast, Frank and Andy. After further review with the mayor, shout out to the mayor. His 50th born day is coming up next week, man. Shout out, man. The Mad Science Sports Lab and Andrew. Join that
word,
Burton. You like to eat and a whole lot more. So just visit warroomsports.com, click that WRS Podcast Network tab, and listen to some of the greatest podcasts that the internet has to offer. Fellas, I've been keeping up with these conventions, man, this political stuff, that clown show they had last week, and
yeah,
you know, what they got going on in Philly right now. I know the traffic in Philly is crazy, Jim.
Man, listen, yo, I got caught up in traffic, got blocked, traffic got blocked, I got caught up in it, and I was angry, and then I saw it was the Black Lives Matter protest, and I ain't gonna front, I wasn't as angry as I was beforehand.
Yeah, but like, go ahead, y'all.
Then I'm like, oh, all right. I saw the red, black, and green flags coming. I'm like, oh, okay. But what I found interesting about that, and Dev said, like he said, it was like that in Times Square, but it was like, you know, three white people to every black person. I was like, okay, they repping. Although it was the Jones with, like, you know, locks. Although white people, y'all got to stop wearing locks because y'all don't look like locks, you know. I respect y'all and all that, but y'all got to chill with that. It was them cats, you know, tattoos and all that, but they was definitely repping.
Yeah, man, salute to BLM. Yo, Hillary got y'all fooled.
No, but I don't even know. I don't even know if she has people fooled though. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this is my experience. I see people too with the. I don't think she has people fooled. I think at this point it's like, yo, anybody but bull.
Yeah, yeah. I think the big thing, Jim, and what I hear from a lot of people is, you know, they want to exercise their right. Like, a lot of people think, if I don't vote, then I'm a part of the problem. So this has become like the mantra of this campaign is like the lesser of two evils. So, you know, a lot of people are going to vote for Hillary just because, like Jimmy said, they don't want to vote for Trump. So I don't know. Might be the only hope the country has of not getting Trump in office. So you better.
Yo, it's not a might be. That's
somebody for.
Yeah, yo. Shout out to Bernie for quitting.
Yo, shout out to Kamika Royal from 254, who was like, yo, this isn't the least of two evils. This is bad meets evil. So, you know what I'm saying?
Shout out to M and the God Royal.
Yo, but
yo, the Hillary narrative has gotten crazy though. Like, Hillary just became the devil, like, over the last 6 to 8 months.
But
did people think that though? Like, don't let these people fool you. People love Clintons, but when the narrative changes, it seems like everybody just follows the narrative. I look at a lot of people might have been, but it's cool to hate Hillary right now.
Yeah, and a lot of what she's being judged on is basically her husband's policies. But you know, you married him, so that you gotta take his good with his bad. You dig what I'm saying? Because on the flip side,
see, she gets the thing, Jim, like, his policies didn't get criticized until like now.
Well, people don't realize that, but
did it take that long for you to even realize what a president did?
Absolutely. And
that's the thing. Like, a lot of black people sweating Barack Obama right now in like 10 years. What the?
Studies show it takes between 8 to 10 years to like fully see what their platforms do. It's sort of like what Bush said when Bush left. When Bush left, he said, for all the people that hate me, he said, history will tell how good of a president I was. I'm like, damn, baby Bush. But he's right in that.
Because it
takes time to actually see that. So she's being judged by that. But on the flip side, a lot of times
people say, the Republicans, they start loving Reagan the way they did to like 2002.
Yeah, that's because it became popular to do. But the thing is, it's like she gets good with that too. I see a lot of people talk about her experience as a first lady and being around that. So she gets the good with the bad. So if you're gonna count her experience, you also gotta count like the policies that were put in place, which were also discussed in Sports the Book in chapter 14 that talked about, you know, Clinton being at the table of God for his ability. You know what I mean? I wrote about this, for those that got the book, they know what I'm talking about, but nonetheless,
yeah, I just find it ironic, Jim, how everybody hates the Clintons now. But if I'm not mistaken, before Barack Obama ever came on board, a lot of black people was calling him the first black president.
All you gotta do is just play a saxophone, dance a little bit, smoke a little reefer.
And that's another
head,
thing about
some
him.
Head nod.
That's why Hillary tried to pull us out of the bag.
Exactly. They do a lot of pandering.
Yeah.
But the one thing I can say, though, like, her answer about the pandering was fire, though. And they said, you know, people accuse you of pandering. And she was like, is it working? That's a fire answer, though. I'll give her that.
You're going to bang on Floyd. She's going to come out of the neckpiece with a sombrero on. Y'all gonna be like,
yo, but I'll tell you one thing, though. The one thing I can say about Barry Obama is that he's definitely a great orator. And I think that we've been spoiled by that because regardless if you agree with him or not, he has the ability to communicate.
Oh, yeah. His speaking is amazing.
He's a cool boy. You know what I'm saying? And that gets in the way, especially when he's speaking and black people are listening. My president. Because, you know, he said something cool. He's got a green lip or something like that. He's not trying to get to us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's another dude. Like, I would love to hang out with the boy, but you know, he's definitely in my book probably getting a little overrated by black people for what he's done as a president.
A little.
Like, I'm not, I don't think, I'm not saying he did anything terrible, but he didn't really do much for the black community. but you can't trust that.
Yo, B. Austin on his Be the Barber John. But listen though, here's the thing about Barry. I would love to, and I know like this will never happen in my life or anything, but I would love to see him like be around him and have him express himself, like, really. Like, tell me how you really feel. Like, yo, these motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Because you could tell, like, he is so careful when he answers questions. Like, he doesn't want to say the right thing because he wants to please everyone. He doesn't want to piss off any one group. So you'll ask him a question, and he'll answer it for, like, 45 minutes, but don't really answer the question.
Yo, that right there is why he was chosen. That's why he was chosen. That's why he was chosen.
Put a black face on a white system. Oh, it works brilliant.
That's why he was chosen because he has that ability, like, to kind of, you know, he's very careful with his words.
And it pacifies for a little while, and it gives the supremacists time to say, well, everything's cool. It's a black president, so that's this anymore. Like, come on, it's a black president. Like B said, black president under white system. Same old status quo. And then y'all disrespecting no end. So, you know, does it really matter?
True, this is
Congress
true.
Has spent 8 years, like, trying to disrespect everything he's ever said.
Yeah, they shade him terribly, y'all.
All right,
yo,
people going to stick this for the war room.
My man Bush, when my man Bush wanted to go to war, he didn't ask Congress. He just went to war. But I digress.
Trump trying to go to war, and he ain't even the president.
He ain't elected yet.
Yo.
Disrespecting countries, man. You heard him on the night talking about that. He's like, you know, Russia. It was probably China. Just out there. Like, it was probably China.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie, man. I ain't gonna lie. I hate everything he stands for, but him, yo, I like this man.
No, you like it for entertainment purposes. Yo.
If he says some of the stuff in front of you, you're probably stealing.
Yeah, you think it's all fun and games, so he's back on the back up there with Adrian Peterson being sold.
Oh, all right, man. We ain't even got that much time this evening, so let's get into some stuff that happened this week while you good folks were on the grind. And as usual, while y'all on the grind, it's brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com. Click on the DirecTV logo and order yourself a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. You call yourself a sports fan, and you got to have DirecTV. Shout out to them, Jim. I got that. Finally got my 4K stuff working. They got a couple of 4K channels with programming that's not even interesting, but the picture is so good you can't turn the channel. Like you know, I was sitting there. Well, I don't know what I was watching. This Croatian chick give a tour of some area in Croatia. It was like It was like watching Hillary's speech, but the picture was so beautiful. And the Croatian joint was kind of thick. But, young man, Glenn Rice Jr., man, son of NBA, former NBA star Glenn Rice. Yo, he is at it again. He got arrested this week for robbery and aggravated battery. I don't know if y'all remember, but he got into some trouble last year. He was charged with reckless conduct and possession of marijuana. This dude seems to not be able to stay out of trouble, man. What is Glenn Rice Sr. doing? What did he do wrong?
He ignored boy. He was not in his life. This guy is...
Speculation, or you notice?
Yeah, no, this is fact. Pretty much factual. We see his actions.
Damn!
I don't know. Yo, I don't know what's... Like, Glenn Rice catches gun charges... You know, you look in his trunk, he's got about 46 pounds of the Yameen back there. He's getting shot. Shout out to the real criminal and gangster and all of this, the tight end from the New England Patriots 2011 team. But, like, coming up underneath that is a young Glenn Rice Jr. Like, he is all over the felonies. All over.
So now he got kicked out of college, too. He got kicked out of Georgia Tech.
No, started early.
Yeah, he had a charge of permitting unlawful operation of a vehicle. I don't even know what that means. But
mine also
stemmed from a shooting incident out of an Atlanta club. So
yo,
he's always
in the mix. Yo, mine is all speculation, but mine is... He comes off like someone who's had all his dirt cleaned up for him his entire life, like a spoiled brat. And that kind of stuff catches up with you eventually. Because now you out here as a grown man acting a damn fool and being held accountable. You dig what I'm saying? So that's how it comes off to me.
Yeah,
man.
I can see that. I mean, his criminal actions are definitely not professional in nature.
Yeah,
so.
Like he ain't really like, you know, he ain't laying the game. He ain't no real super predator.
Like, really about that life.
Love yeah. Sosa. Oh, and then
speaking of sons, am I still in the Matrix? Muhammad
yeah.
Ali.
Yo,
Muhammad,
man.
Can you hear me though?
Not really. Yeah, we hear you. Not well. Every third word. Muhammad Ali's son is a piece of trash, is what you're about to get ready to go into. But definitely, I'll let you.
Well, what he was getting ready to say is how Muhammad Ali had a son. Well, first off, who knew Muhammad Ali had a net worth of like $80 million? Shout out to Ali, man. But
I did.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you did. Like, yeah, I mean, you know everybody's net worth, man. Like, you know, you know, because you do business with all them, because you went to them, you know what I mean, that $1 billion bank, and I ain't with that. I'm a poor man. But anyway, Muhammad Ali left his son a grip.
A nation needs wealth.
He had 8 kids and, you know, had a net worth of about $80 million. Plus, he had a mansion, which he left which he left his wife. So his son got a substantial amount of money upon Muhammad Ali's death. Now, this isn't a strange son that he already, like, you know, didn't really ping with like that. And his son was living off, like, handouts and welfare, and he had a wife and 2 kids. But upon getting the money from his father's estate, Ball Straight left his wife and kids. You know what I'm saying? And to go spend that bread by himself.
Yo, they said he gave her $75 total to buy something nice.
Yo, my man got, like, yo, he got, like, 8 to 10 mil and gave his chick $75.
I don't... Well, we all have done that to certain women, but not...
Women, not your
that level of her, not your wife, not the
dog,
mother of your children.
Dog, if I get 7 to 10 mil, there are toots that will get more than $75 off the rip.
Whoa, slow down, brother.
I'm just being honest, man.
Fifth Amendment.
I'm just being honest. In Vegas, by the way. In Vegas, though.
If you because if you got that much, you got to step your toot game up.
Yo,
more than
$75. Yo, the toots I would have. Never mind. Yeah, but anyway, what I'm saying is he's a scum bum, man. This boy is like, you know. I don't know what to say about
him.
Man.
Yo,
people need to scram.
Yo, Ali didn't leave the earth for his son to be up here doing stuff like this, man. Honorable Elijah Muhammad don't teach us to do this kind of stuff, man. Not your wife.
But then the
crumb
the
creep
says more focused on starting a business and helping people in the community. More focused than what? Kids?
Yo,
yeah.
You got to put food on your family, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, man.
I'm severely disappointed, and I know that the great and honorable Muhammad Ali is rolling around in his grave thinking about or seeing what's going on with his grandkids.
Yeah, because essentially that's his grandkids, man.
Yeah.
Before we move further, because I know that Fred has to come on, and I know Tobias has to come on, too. Shout out to Tobias. He has to come on. We have to get Tobias and Fred on. But the one thing I want to get you gentlemen to speak on is former coach Denny Green, man, because he passed away at 67. So I just want to hear you guys' thoughts about Denny Green.
It's so hard to say goodbye to who they thought they were. Oh, yo, rest in peace, Denny Green.
If they are who we thought they were. That's what we thought. If you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Yo, man, besides that soundbite, he was actually a pretty good NFL coach.
Absolutely.
Lasted a long time.
He's like defined by that now. For one more
year.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I took away from, like, not just him, his legacy, is how just in life in general, you could do a lot of great things, have a substantial life, but you do one thing that, you know, gets people's attention, that's what they remember you by. No matter what else your legacy is, like, because that's the first thing that came to everybody's mind when he passed away. I was like, man, all the opportunities that he gave to young African-American coaches, because he was one of those guys that employed a lot of African-American. He got a lot of guys a chance. But he's remembered for that one soundbite. And the soundbite is fire, though. It's not like, you know, not like a corny junk. But, you know, RIP to the god Denny Green, man.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, I don't know if y'all can hear me out there.
You sound better,
Better?
Yeah, you sound better now. Yeah.
All right. Shout out to everybody that's having a birthday this week. But y'all can check out our website at worldroomsports.com. While you take your time, look around, click on the Contact Us tab, send us a message about the company, the show, to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities to join the network. For general inquiries, email us info@worldroomsports.com while you're browsing the site. That memorabilia tab by Warroom Sports Merchant. Click the blog tab to read our latest articles in the blog. Then click the respective icons and tabs to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, to watch our webcast at Warroom Sports TV.
to listen to the WRS Podcast Network and to download the War Room mobile app to get everything just mentioned. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't have one, if you don't want one, sign in to your Facebook and Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow. That'll get you updates and reminders of the show, such as these guys are recording on a different night, such as tonight. You would have known that. To call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, 323-410-012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. But everybody, you can do that in about 5 minutes, because right now we're going to talk about college football with the homie Fred Perdue. Before
True.
We do that, Jimmy's going to let everybody know this is brought to him by.
I'm going to see you, Andy Toe. I'm going to see you.
We will see you. We're going to catch you in traffic or something, but it's about who sees you first.
Damn.
Listen, the Hot Topics is brought to you by Audible.
Yeah, where you?
Your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want. Here's the fix. Go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports and try this service. You get a free book by going to audibletrial.com/warroomsports, and in no time you can have someone reading books to you. Like, I'm banging out with several good books right now. The biography of A.G. Gaston. For those who don't know who he is, just Google him and you'll see who he is. But his biography is on Audible. Just copped that this past week. So anyway, audibletrial.com/warroomsports. Let's go.
All right. All you college football heads out there, who he is, Fred Perdue. Got him on the line. We're going to talk some college football. Fred, what's going on, good man?
How's it going, fellas? Long time no talk, man.
Well, look, man, you know, we were in that dead part, you know, where no football going on. So at least now we got some college news. We got some NFL training camp.
We got Ryan Fitzpatrick
back.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, yeah. We know it's football season now.
Oh, yeah. All right, so let's get right into the action then. What's going on with, like, surrounding these media days? I know you wanted to tell us about the latest happenings with the media days. What's the scoop on that?
It's really crazy because we had SEC media days a couple weeks ago, and we all know that's the start of the college football season. Then the ACC came around, and starting with the SEC, you have Nick Saban, of course, answering questions about his suspended players and things like that. Cam Robinson, their star left tackle, as well as Hootie Jones, with some gun and marijuana issues. He's not answering any questions like that. Our good buddy Paul Feinbaum from ESPN, of course, he has to ruffle feathers with Nick Saban, as well as having a very heated debate that got caught on camera with Hugh Freeze, the head coach at Ole Miss. Of course, we have to talk about that. Tim Tebow always saying that he's not – his NFL aspirations aren't over. Of course, we have to talk about Tim Tebow, even though he's no longer in college football or any form of on-field play.
I'm about to say, not any football.
and denying comments of him possibly running for a political office. You know, the media days it's fun because you get to see the personality of some of the players, and of course the media likes to make their predictions, like the SEC predicting Alabama. I know we got Tobias coming up a little bit. He'll be happy to know that Alabama's been picked again to face Tennessee. I don't see how they figure Tennessee's going to win anything. I've jumped off of that bandwagon about 3 years ago. I don't care who their quarterback is. I don't care who their head coach is. I believe in Tennessee as much as I believe in, I don't know, the Miami Hurricanes winning anything anytime soon. So, and we all know how I feel about that Miami Hurricanes team. So, you know, the Pac-12 is trying to expand. He's gone, but I want to see something. I like what I'm seeing, but it's all practice and shorts and T-shirts and 7-on-7. We'll see what's really going on with Miami coming October 5th when Florida State comes to town. And the season doesn't begin until then. But the Pac-12, they picked Stanford to win it. This is 3 out of 4 years that they've won a conference title. They're going for 4 out of 5. Christian McCaffrey, the son of Ed McCaffrey, the Denver Broncos receiver. I know, Jimmy, you're well acquainted with him. But Stanford is not the school to really mess with anymore. They're not the little guys on the block anymore. And Christian McCaffrey might just win a Heisman Trophy this year.
Wow. A lot of people thought he got snubbed last year. You know, they threw that word snub around. But, Fred, you wrote a preseason top 25 article for the War Room. Anybody want to check it out, just go to warroomsports.com, and you'll see it right there on the front page. It's the preseason top 25. Of course, you had Alabama at the top. You know, Tobias is holding the line. I'm pretty sure he's happy to hear that. but do you think that there will be any threats to Alabama during the season?
Possibly. USC is a tricky team because we don't know what they're bringing at quarterback. They don't have the depth issues as much with the scholarships coming back. Clay Helton's a new head coach for them, even though he was the offensive coordinator. That's the first game of the season. You have Ole Miss looming. You have Tennessee looming. LSU late in the season on November 5th, if I remember correctly. So you have a couple big games, and, of course, the Auburn game. I don't believe in Auburn either. I really don't believe in Auburn this year. But a couple big-time tests. I think, if anything, LSU, because LSU is one of those games that – It's really the closest thing you're going to see Alabama and LSU to an NFL game. And you have really great line play. If LSU's quarterback comes around, Brandon Harris, if he comes around at all, just a little, Alabama might be in trouble. But I don't think anyone else is really going to give them any problems. Ole Miss, maybe, but Nick Saban doesn't lose to the same team twice back-to-back. So I don't really think that'll – I think he's going to come out with a vengeance with that one. Alabama has to fix their quarterback position first, though. The second year in a row, or actually going into the third year, where they've had a first-year quarterback. And David Cornwell, Blake Barnett, and Cooper Bateman are all fighting for the position. They have a freshman, Jalen Hurts, but I don't think he's going to have a chance at this point. Nick Saban doesn't start any freshmen, so at the quarterback position at least. But they have a two-headed monster at running back, so we know how Nick Saban loves to run the football. And the defense, as good as they were last year, might just be better this year. Tim Williams and the rest of those guys are going to be coming back. And Tim Williams, now 10.5 sacks last year off the bench, now has a chance to show what he can do for these NFL scouts.
All right. So, like we said, Fred, in-depth analysis of his preseason top 25s on warroomsports.com, right there on the page. He gives you everything you need to know. Each team in the top 25, and even gives you a little bit about a few teams that might be flirting right around the top 25. All seasons, such as Georgia and Texas A&M. What's the deal with the playoff games? Are they moving some stuff? I heard something might get moved around a little bit.
They're talking about moving the semifinal games because they're on holidays. We thought the idea of putting a semifinal game on New Year's Day was a good idea. New Year's Eve, that was a good idea. Not so much. After ratings fell last year. Not even. It was a struggle to want to watch that game. Who wants to sit and watch a football game on New Year's Eve when there's so much to do? Yeah. It's just not the ideal situation, and the ratings show. They have to put out the product for not what their pockets love. So they're moving the games to a different date going forward in the next few years. It's not going to happen this year, but in the future it will happen. And I'll actually have a little bit of something to say about that over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to be putting something together. So you guys stay tuned for that one, because we all know that as fans, we want to see the best product on the field. So these dates are going to be good for not just the big-time playoff games, but also they're going to have a little bit of an impact on bowl games, because, quite honestly, we all know everyone has a bowl game. I'm waiting on that War of Sports bowl game, I'm telling you. But
be working on it still, man. No.
Everybody, 40-plus bowl games. We got to have something.
Plenty of issues, but we're working on it. But about that, I can see, like, I never understood the New Year's Eve thing. Like, if you can't put anything TV that you actually want people to watch on New Year's Eve. The New Year's Day games, I understood a little bit more. Most people are house chilling because they're probably hungover. Then you got that. You know, some people take it too far the night before, so they can't get up to watch the game. So I think it's a smart move to move all together. Fred, you know, from now through the college football season. So let everybody know where they can get online.
Well, first and foremost, man, I'm in here with the War Room, man. I had to just come on over. You know, I had to do that. So you can check me out at warroomsports.com. You can also check me out every Thursday with you guys, every Thursday. Also on Twitter, sports, Instagram, same thing. I don't know about the Snapchat thing yet. I might join that group of those people, but I don't know about that one just yet. Just yet, you know they
got
they
you,
are,
man.
The ladies
want to see you, bro. On Snapchat, man. That's where the toots would be at.
Oh,
all right, but
that just sounds like Fred, trouble, be awesome. That sounds like trouble.
Yeah.
Hey, but that's Fred, where the eyes are. You gotta be where the eyes are, fam.
We will holler at you next week at your regularly scheduled time, and we'll have a few more minutes to wrap. So thanks for showing up on a special day and time. We appreciate it, and we will holler at you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Word. Fred, for two.
Right, Fred, everybody. War Room Sports, college football correspondent. Let's go to the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline real quick. We got the homie Tobias waiting. I know he's happy to hear about his Tide and in Fred's, being Fred's number one. Roll damn Tide.
Hey. Roll damn Tide. I think Frederick should get a raise. And one of those Corinthian leather chairs. Before I get going on my point today, I must say this. They call the men in USC the men of Troy. Well, on Labor Day weekend, Alabama going to make the men of Troy fall to his knees, just like in the book. But, all right, I heard you guys in the open. I actually was on time for once. All right, first things first. Michael Jordan rolled that fence hard. That man was right down the middle. Yeah. And black people. Yeah, hey, black people, not talking about y'all, but some of my family members hate me because I get on about the symbolism. Michael Jordan gave his money to white organizations. Then the NAACP was founded. Funded, and still controlled by white folks.
Tell them.
And why don't give money to the cops? And by the way, I'm still waiting those rainbow levers to come out.
Amen. Amen, Tobias. Listen, man, we're going to get into this in a minute, but amen to what you said, man.
Yeah, and y'all talking about, some of the political stuff, and I take a beating because I'm not a big Barack Obama supporter. So I think he's a swell guy.
Neither
yeah.
are we. Well, I speak for myself. Neither am I.
No, I'm not either. I mean, here's the thing, though. For me, to be completely honest, and I've expressed this with my brothers here, that it's one of the most difficult things for me to talk about because in terms of his policy and what he's done, I'm not a fan at all. But I understand from in terms of symbolism what he means to the little kids because I've talked to little kids who, and that's the only president they know. So for them – it's a lot bigger than what he's actually done. So it's like a difficult thing. It's very complex. You know what I'm saying? It's not as simple as, yo, he's trash. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
It's the type of thing where it's like I'm still proud of him and what he symbolizes. But at the same time, I can't get sucked into that whole thing. Like, you know, just thinking, shout out to the homie, Dr. Umar. We can't just give him a pass. Uh-huh. On not doing much just because of the color of his skin. You know what I'm saying? But it is, like Jim, it's difficult to criticize him in public because you don't want to do that in front of other people.
Yo, so what I end up doing is I only criticize him around y'all.
But you know what, though? People think I hate the man. I have no beef with the man as a person. I just criticize politicians on policies. I always say this is what black people messed up at. And this is where, like, to me, President Obama being in office, might as well say 8 years, show how far we have to come as trying to compete with other groups. Because no other group worrying about symbolism. For instance, if Hillary Clinton wins the presidency, black women, y'all don't, they equal pay don't pertain to y'all. Y'all still make substantially less than white women. Black men still make substantially less than white women. No, even though we got more than just as many college degrees. But anyway.
But guess what?
They might equal us.
They're going to
equal black men's salaries.
There's
going to
be a little white girl out there who's going to want to be president now.
Oh, but you know what, though? Here's the problem. I hate to break this to everybody's kids. It's time to be honest here with you guys. Unless you got the money and you willing to tap dance and buck dance and coon and say forget your people, you ain't going to be president.
Here's what's interesting, though. You say that, right? But these days, most of the people who are of the power elite don't even want the job anymore. I mean, look who we're choosing between. Most of the talented people can make more money in Silicon Valley or Wall Street. They don't even want to be president no more. We got a 70-year-old.
That speaks to the fact that this place there's an illusion that this is a traditional country and nation. This isn't a traditional country and nation. This is a marketplace only.
And it's also an illusion to him that the president of the United States is the most powerful man in the planet. That's
an illusion.
I mean, listen, man, we started getting back after Nixon ruined it, because Nixon ruined all the nepotism and all the issues you can get away with. Nixon ruined all that. Once he ruined it, we started getting actors. We started getting alcoholics. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean,
we got a black man. You know what? No, I'll say this. I'll give you symbolism for the first year. I'm talking about people out there in the world out here, us black folk. But I'm going to paraphrase Jada Kiss when he said, my son can't eat no plaques. My son can't eat that symbolism. And the
that's
thing
right.
is that.
But let's, not act, that's, a, but let's not act like symbolism is irrelevant, right? I mean, it holds a certain amount of weight, but not as much weight as some may think. But it does hold weight. In fact, when you see someone who succeeds at anything that looks like you, it does have an effect. It definitely has an effect. But I understand your point. Like I said, that's why for me this is very difficult. You know what I'm saying? I have a little nephew who doesn't know anything but a black person. Dev, your son has never been in a world where the president wasn't a black man.
I don't mean that in a sexual way. I mean in a way that they get whatever they want.
You know what, guys?
I said it because I was talking about, I took the lady out to dinner, and, we were talking about this stuff. And, of course, she's all about Hillary and President. I said, want to see a woman in. I said, all right, whatever. And I was telling her, she was like, man, your family get on you about Obama. I said, yeah, but I said, think about this. I hate when people say that folks can't say nothing. But yet, when President Obama and Michael Jordan, they're talking about black folks getting killed. Oh, man, that's just messed up. It's unfortunate. You can do better. But when the cops get killed, oh, man, that's cowardly. That's terrible.
I got one question for you, Tobias. And there's a lot of pressure with this question, man, because how you answer will either alienate you or endear you to me on the war room.
Damn.
Tobias, how you feel about Hillary, though?
Whew. I believe that I tell you how I feel about Hillary. I believe she's worse than Trump because she has she's not her husband.
My man.
And I tell you this. Because I tell you
my
why.
Man.
He wants to say was her husband. She sided with him, and when she was a senator in New York, she never tried to change those laws. When she was Secretary of State, never tried to change those laws one bit. She didn't say a word. And that's why I say she right along with it.
We got to develop.
But we speak like this. Like, what have y'all ever met an honest politician?
No.
Surprised and stuff. Like,
yeah, no, no.
They're all politicians.
There have been.
Got to say what
honest,
you have to say to get elected.
There have been honest political
only
figures.
Like Ford,
the problem is
when
they died.
He was trying
they
to get with Halle Berry.
Well, they died.
Yeah.
Honest politician I seen was Bullworth when he was trying to get with Halle Berry in that movie.
I think anybody who's even close to being honest, they're just like city reps, state reps, stuff like that, because
they're not even honest.
You got a lot down there that's crazy too, but a lot of those dudes, like, ninth ward, president or ninth, you know, whatever ninth board representative.
The thing. A lot of those dudes
we don't put our money behind those politicians.
But here's the thing,
they're
though.
Trying to
I
make
mean,
like
and
a grassroots difference, but they don't make it to the big time because they don't want anybody who's trying to change anything, you know, in big time.
But no, but here's the thing though, I kind of disagree with that because I think that a lot of these guys, I mean, this is Barack Obama. He's one of those grassroots guys, right? But I think that it's a system because you can't get to a certain level without scratching someone's back and having them scratch yours and vice versa. You can't get to a certain level. The way the system is set up, there's other countries where they actually, but that's what I'm kind of saying.
The ones who really, really want to make a change, they're not getting involved with that, so they don't climb the ladder like an Obama. You know
what I'm saying?
Here's the problem, even
at the local level, like a lot of those guys, a majority of those guys are crooked too, because even to get those seats is, I've seen crooked people on homeowners associations. Like, yo, anytime.
I think homeowners associations, period, are crooked.
Yo, absolute power corrupts, absolutely, man. When you get any semblance of power, it kind of exposes who you really are. You know what I mean?
Cut the grass around.
You know what? Can I say this, though, before I roll on you guys, got the other stuff. I'll say this. People, not talking about you guys, but I hear people say the local politicians. It doesn't matter what color the president is. It doesn't matter the president's a Klingon. If black people aren't as a collective putting any money in greens and palms, these politicians, like the white people, white supremacists are doing, the gays are doing, the white women are doing, these Latinos are doing, we don't get anything because voting only goes so far. We aren't paying these people. Even your local electors don't even cost that much. Look at Baltimore. You got black folks all over the place running stuff, supposedly. Can't even put the black cop in jail. And
yeah,
I'll
because
say this real
it's,
quick.
Easy, it's easy to put a black face
on. I see a lot of people
a black face
who
on
judge
white
people who don't vote. Like, I don't judge people who don't vote. Like,
I don't either.
I understand. Like, you get to a certain point where you think your vote don't mean nothing.
Yo.
And if you don't like either one of the candidates, why would why,
but here's
you
the thing.
Somebody to vote?
Thank you for not judging me, man.
Thank you, Jimmy, for your point, though.
I'm not judging you because I hate people say people die so you can vote. No, people die for me to have to write the vote.
The right means I also got the right not to.
So I don't judge anyone, man.
Jim,
that's
that same pro-life argument. Like, yo, just because, you know, you're pro, people think because you're pro-choice, that means, oh, you just, like a lot of people who are pro-choice wouldn't even get an abortion themselves. But they believe in you having the right to do what the hell you want to do. But people don't understand that. It's about the right. It's not about what
taking,
you have to do.
People love taking, you know, you give people an inch, they love taking a mile. Like, what's the old Eddie Murphy joke? You give them a rope, they want to be a cowboy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what it is, man. But I mean, you know, we're messed up.
They fought for our right to sit in the front of the bus and where we sit.
You know what, guys? I'll say this for our role. One, for the black folks, they answer to die for the right to vote. Hey, your boy John Lewis and John Conyers, they don't die, fought and almost got killed for the right for us to integrate the lunch counter. Where did that get us? But I'll say this.
I'll say,
I'm from Montgomery, Alabama now, where the bus boy kind of happened. We should have had our own freaking buses.
I ain't never coming down there.
Yeah, good food. But I'll say this, though. For the black people who keep saying President Obama can't say nothing, do nothing. He signed a second of orders of illegal immigrants, and they don't like us. He will go to war fighting for the LGBT. I don't mind that the LGBT and illegal immigrants are fighting for whatever. They should, because that's what they're supposed to do. But we should be the squeaky wheel also, especially when you gave this man 90-something% of your votes, record votes.
He's afraid to look like he's fighting for personal, you know, situation.
Yeah, he's in a precarious situation, but also we don't vote in blocks, right? I'm currently reading writings of Malcolm X, and one of the things he talked about later in his life when he started recognizing, in the beginning he was all about, look, I ain't voting, it don't matter anyway, but then at the end he realized the power to vote. But what he says is, unless we vote in blocks, it kind of doesn't matter. Like, your vote doesn't matter, but if you're able to get together a couple thousand people and y'all all vote one way, then you make a difference. The problem is we're not organized. It's not that there's less of us. It's not that we're just not organized.
Yeah, let's be clear here what the consequences and repercussions have been throughout history when we did organize or when there was a leader whose voice was loud enough to be heard by the masses.
Yeah, bombs was dropped. Neighborhoods were killed. Yo, my man Megan Evers got hit by a sniper in his own garage, like in his own driveway. Like, he's in his driveway. Yo,
the first time planes were ever used was on September 11th.
Oh, never mind.
Hey, man. We'll wrap to you next week.
Hey, you guys, take it easy. And for the people that want to talk Black Wall Street, what B also was talking about, the only mistake was they didn't have a gun store. But hey, you guys have a good one, man. Y'all take it easy.
Yo, Tobias out of control.
All
right. So, if people didn't catch, you know, what he was talking about in the beginning of his call, Michael Jordan actually came out. He wrote a little letter for the undefeated, and it start like the headline says, "I can no longer stay silent." Can't read the whole thing because we don't have time. But a few excerpts. He said, as a proud American, a father who lost his own dad in a senseless act of violence, and a black man, I have been deeply troubled by the deaths of African Americans at the hands of law enforcement and angered by the cowardly and hateful targeting of and killing of police officers. Tobias kind of just alluded to that. He's like, you know, when the black dudes are getting killed, you know, even if you have a problem with it, you just state it as so, and then when the cops are getting killed, it's a cowardly act. I would go as far as to label both of them cowardly acts because some of these videos that I've seen.
Black lives don't matter as much as blue lives. So you have to understand that the blue lives, they're putting their lives on the line for us to protect and serve. You know, some of those black guys had criminal charges. They had records. They had past.
Right.
So it's a little different.
Anyway, so he went on to say, to support that effort, I'm making contributions of $1 million each to two organizations, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, newly established Institute for Community Police Relations, and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. Fellas, Michael Jordan has taken a beating over the years, especially from black people. He's taken a beating right here in the war room. And he's taking a slaughtering from Jimmy. And a lot of it has everything to do with the fact that in our 30 years of knowing who Michael Jordan is, Michael Jordan was, you know, he's never used the immense power that he's garnered through the game of basketball to ever speak out on any social issues. And a lot of people just believe he got to a point a very long time ago where he could say things and he wouldn't be risking a damn thing, but he's never done it. Why now all of a sudden? And what do you guys think about it? Are you giving him kudos for it, or is it too little too late?
Hell no. Jimmy, you got bars for him, so I'm going to let
He said, hell no, Jimmy, you
all
got
I'm gonna say, all I'm going to say is this, man. Like, you know, it's like you about 30 years too late, but at the same time, you're trying to do something, but I don't even think he had anything to do with this. I don't think he wrote the letter. I don't think it was his decision. Like, come on. And then you want to impress me because, yeah, you want to give $1 million to the FOI and $1 million to BLM. That's what you got to do if you want to impress me. If you do that, I might go out and buy some Jordans. But
basically what we're saying here is Michael Jordan's been silent for so long, and he said it himself, or whoever wrote the letter said it, I can't stay silent any longer. So you kind of know that you're guilty of that.
That's what you're
saying.
So
what you're saying, though, Jim, is you're saying is, because of 30 years of precedence, he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt.
No. Now, right? I know some people take the approach, like Skyview says in our chat room, well, $2 million is $2 million. Yeah, but who did he give it to? He gave $1 million to the cops and $1 million to the white-run NAACP. NAACP was founded by W.E.B. Du Bois and a couple other crackers. Like, hey, come on, man. Like, what are you really doing here? And at the end of the day, right, I understand
did he say that.
did he say what?
Oh, no, go ahead.
It's my fault, though. It ain't my fault. It's Mike's fault.
Had a Ritz or a saltine.
Yo.
Please,
my bad listeners. Yo, my bad listeners, man. I was, you know, I caught my emotions, man. It's Mike's fault, though.
No.
It's Mike's fault, man. But bottom line is I don't give him a pass, man, because there's so much he could have done. And I understand. Like, I'm also one of the guys that understands that you don't have to do anything. But like you said, he got to a certain point where it wouldn't have mattered, man. And I'm also of the philosophy of the great Uncle Ben that with great power comes great responsibility. It's a reason why there will never be an athlete ever beloved the way that Muhammad Ali was, because it's about so much more. And shout out to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Jim Brown and Bill Russell and those that, you know, do try to use their platform to make a change, because that's what it's all about. When it, you know, we can argue all day long about who's the better boxer, who's the better center and all that. But when you start, like, affecting people's lives in a different way, man, that's what it's about.
You take your platform and you reach out to the common man. And, salute to you, Dev, because you said something a long time ago that has always stuck with me when it comes to athletes, celebrities, even wealthy people. It when you have something to risk by the actions you're taking and the words that you're putting out into the ethos, there's a little bit more meaning than when you calculate things and you mitigate the risk to yourself, especially in social, when you're talking about social injustice and human rights. And so when we look at this Jordan situation and the fact that the world, not just America, the world has turned its attention to the killing of unarmed and oftentimes innocent black men and women in this country as truly human rights violations. Is it really of any real risk for Michael Jordan to now come out on the side of all of those who are incensed? Because it's not even just black folks now. It's not even just white folks. It's the world that has taken notice. And so this is something that he had to do for his brand, because he's arguably the most recognized African-American sports hero the world has ever seen. So for him not to say anything has been ridiculous. And now when the tide is turned, there's no cost to him for speaking up. He says something. In fact, there's a benefit. And the reality is, yo, I think he's just concerned about making sure the money continues to roll.
I think that it's also Maverick, LeBron, the Banana Boat Boys, who have kind of like, you know, and salute to them, because we criticize them for, like,
yo,
you know.
We shoot at them, but, yo, they took a stand, man. I can never front on what they did.
Even beyond that, like, since this all happened, I started doing a little research. Like, yo, Melo really is out there. Like, Melo is really out there.
Melo was moving work with AI before. Never mind, go ahead.
I didn't realize how much. Like, Melo, like, goes to prisons. Melo was in, like, the inner. Like, Melo was really out there trying to make a difference. It's probably why the Knicks are never going to win a championship. But Melo is going to solidify himself a different way.
He'd be out there for his Wiz community. Remember, they went to where she from, Puerto Rico or something?
Yo, he was in the slums in Rico. Like,
yeah, he was
like,
in the slums of Puerto Rico building courts. And
but Melo was also half, he got a little Espanol in him as well.
His name is Carmelo.
Yeah, his
name is Carmelo.
He's down with the terror squad. But I'm just saying, like, I see that Scott in the chat room said, in 2016, we still suffer from crabs in a barrel. I'm not denying that. But until we have honest leadership, we won't succeed, regardless of which bank we switch our money. But here's the thing about, what do you mean by honest leadership from who?
Yo, first of all, I reject the notion of crabs in a barrel, because that analogy is a fallacy and is flawed. And I hope that he's listening, because I got to let you understand that just as crabs don't belong in a barrel, we as human beings don't belong in a situation or in our barrel where the institutions are racist and there's systemic bias against us. So to say crabs don't belong in a barrel, we are. And if a crab is in its natural habitat, then that analogy becomes, you know, moot. So,
I'm still in this.
That's
I'm
never
not,
heard
I'm
nobody
not,
like.
Yo, I'm leaving.
You never
this
hear anybody
try,
like
I'm,
we suffer from crabs in the water syndrome.
Yo, I'm gonna leave this this podcast. I'm gonna try to get somebody to say that crabs in the barrel to me now, and I'm gonna blow their brains away.
Bar.
Yo, you're gonna lead them to a crabs conversation.
I'm lead
yo,
them to that
all we are is MCs that don't rap, yo.
Yo, because that's the truth. Is that's so much the truth, but also. Scotty, I know, like, I've been on this for years on this show. Economics is the only way. It's always been the only way. And what's funny about that is everybody knows I'm an Audible fanatic and I love books. When I read Marcus Garvey's writings and Malcolm X, they've been on this, like, yo, Marcus Garvey was talking about this in, like, 1930. Like, yo, economics is the only way. No market,
yo,
no none of that nonsense.
We made headway. We made headway until when did segregation end? When did integration begin? We made headway. So there were economic
platforms. We made headway because, like, back then there wasn't even a choice. But then when you
we had no choice. We couldn't even get a white man on money.
When you put us in general pop, when you put us in gen pop,
then we begin to suffer from our own pathologies and our own self-loathing. And we say, oh, let me take my money out of the community and go spend it with these other people because they're better than me anyway.
And the thing is, though, America is still very much segregated, especially as far as where you live. But
church,
at the same time,
because of the, the quote unquote freedoms that we're supposed to have, like people, first of all, don't like that. So they're still like going outside of their neighborhood to spend money somewhere else and then coming home, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Or,
it definitely doesn't.
You're letting foreigners integrate into your neighborhood on the business tip. They don't live there, but they come
and give you an inferior and give you inferior products to consume.
Someone told me the other day, they said jokingly, they was like, I wonder how many Asian kids we've actually put through college. I was like,
real talk. But then when it's time for our kids to go to college, like, cats got to drop out after the semester because we ain't got it.
that's why I'm tired. I'm tired of this narrative of we got to do better and we're at fault and that's part of the problem that some have even with Obama, because they feel as though he chastises us for our behavior without speaking to the context that surrounds that behavior. It's one thing to criticize us. I think that you can have the conversation when you break it down granularly and you're speaking to
Obama.
Yeah, there's some people. I am not saying
that. No, I see that, though.
So you're saying, like,
because
you have to say, like, he speaks in code.
He's not as bad as
he don't even openly speak about us to chastise us openly.
He's not as bad as Cosby, but he always starts his conversation on with that. The thing is, though, to be completely honest, like, it's like the system has put us in a predicament, right? So, part of me feels like, yes, we do have to do better, but you can't say that without talking about what got us here in the first place.
That's the key, acknowledgement. You got to acknowledge it. I'm not mad at having the conversation around accountability, because really what that is being accountable and responsible, and we can have that, but you damn sure better acknowledge why we're here, what we're up against, and where we've come from before you have that conversation. Because if you have
that they ignore that and they just point to the 1% who bucked the system
and they're doing us a disservice, because that makes us look like we're inferior and we're just prone to violence and prone to criminality. Shout out to Rudy Giuliani and the other police board that say we're prone to criminal behavior and we're prone to inferiority. So they don't I don't think a lot of black people realize how much of a disservice they do when they don't address the issue and the system that breeds these situations. It's fine to hold people accountable for doing better, but understand that if in under the squat rack of life, we always have 400 pounds of weight on the squat rack versus 225. We never warming up.
You're absolutely right, and that's the thing. Like, I have no problem with the conversation of what do we need to do better, because there are things we need to do better, but like you said, just the acknowledgement of what got us in the first place. That's all that's needed, man. And a little bit of empathy, man, because people lack empathy. Speaking of Rudy Giuliani, though, I just heard that he's supposed to get a position in Trump's cabinet if Trump wins.
Oh, God. That's why he out there talking that nonsense.
Yeah.
Giuliani.
Yeah, he got a big job.
He's the worst.
Giuliani.
I'm going to call it what it is. Rudy Giuliani is a terrorist.
Echo. Yo, but back to the Michael Jordan thing though. I heard rumors. I don't know how true any of this is because I didn't really do the financial research, but I heard things like, you know, his shoes haven't been doing too well, and then people referenced the fact that the All-Star game was just, which is a cash cow to whoever hosted, was just taken out of Charlotte because of the whole transgender bathroom law that they passed. Do y'all think it's anything to those stories? You think Mike is probably saying something now just for how it may look? He like, so the next time he gets in a position where he could possibly lose some money, it's kind of like, okay, at least I've spoken up on something before, so they might take that into consideration instead of just snatching something because of what the state is doing. I don't know.
Who does Michael Jordan count on to buy his apparel? Not to say that other ethnicities don't buy it and don't partake in it, but who drives the trends and influences the trends? Black people.
Right.
And so Black people have been slowly but surely moving away from his brand. And I don't think it's because he hasn't spoke up or been socially responsible. I think he's saturated the market to a point where there's Jordan 47s and he's still re-releasing the classics.
And as I say, not even that. They just go on a cycle where they just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You know what I'm saying?
I think it is falling off, bringing out dependent on black, but dependent on black people.
Come on. Because every shoe they like, I used to collect in college. Every shoe would come out with, I already got. Like in the closet, collecting dust somewhere. I'm like, y'all gonna keep falling for this, huh? And people do buy the same shoe. Like it'll come back out 5 years later, and they buy it even though they already have it. Like I don't get it.
I don't even like. Yo, I wear 40 Belows, New Balance, and flip-flops, and that's pretty much it. Well, shouldn't call them flip-flops. You know how we do in Philly, sandals with the socks, but, you know, no thong flip-flops. We ain't with that.
Yeah, my 365 is Asics because I got bad feet. But,
F y'all, right, I'm a cool old man. Sneaker pimping, stupid.
Yeah, that's because your feet don't hurt. But, unless you just don't care. My feet hurt.
I
wear with the hoof doc told me to wear. But look, I was just talking about hoof docs in general. Yeah, echo chambers is rare form, yeah. I was just talking about hoof docs in general. Well, maybe I shouldn't have said duh.
She's down with George. She a Jordanaire.
Yeah, insider. All right, but look, real quick, because we're going to talk a few NFL topics, and then we're going to get out of here a little bit early. So y'all can check out the website, wolverinesports.com, if you want to call in and speak with us about anything happening with your team during NFL, the opening of NFL training camp. Just hit us on the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. And this NFL training camp talk is brought to you by The Great Sports The Book. Y'all tired of reading the same old sports books with tired old lists, rankings, imaginary starting lineups, cats telling you to buy sneakers that's been out 16 times already? Well, be sure to pick up your copy of Sports. Smart people only read the sports. This is the Illmatic of sports book, and it's a mix, and its mixture of sports and hip-hop culture will keep you at attention. No Beckham. From beginning to end. Just go to sportsthebook.com or get your copy from our website, warroomsports.com. Wherever you get your copy, if it's from our website, if it's from sportsthebook.com, or if it's from Jimmy's trunk, just make sure you don't miss the
movie. You already know. And I take major credit cards and also access funds.
Jimmy walk around with his square. All right. The NFL, they're going a step further on this whole concussion thing. So they've announced new guidelines on teams who violate concussion protocols. So I guess, you know, if they find that you haven't, you know, gone through the protocol and put players through the protocol as you're supposed to, they're going to be fining teams and stuff like that. What are your thoughts on this? Because, you know, this is something that the NFL once tried to hide. This is information the NFL tried to hide from people. Now they're going out of their way to make sure everybody's in compliance with this. I mean, they're cash cow.
We're going right back to Jordan.
Away from the farm.
Yo, we're right back to Michael Jordan, man. They just trying to keep their cash cow afloat. They're trying to keep the train on track that hasn't been used. Well, that's all. That's all this is about. They got to see this whole empire through to 2050, and then, you know, everybody got their exit plan.
That's all.
Yeah, till 2050. Nah, it's crazy because it's not only fines, they're facing loss of draft picks if they violate the concussion protocol. So it's come to a point where they have to look like they're being really stern with these teams, you know, after they've been the bad guy, the boogeyman in this whole concussion CTE saga from jump. So they said fines for violators. Under the new policy, when a team's medical staff or other employee is determined to violate the concussion protocol, the team could be subject to either discipline or fines anywhere from $50,000 to $150,000 for a first violation or a loss of draft picks. And they said fines or violators will ramp up to a minimum of $100,000 for a second in each additional violation of the concussion protocol. So they said they also have additional penalties in place, which involves aggravating circumstances. So Roger Goodell is bringing the hammer down on something that he was the negative face of just months ago. So
pretty much. Watch Roger do his thing, man. That's all I got to say. In the words of Large Professor, man, watch Roger do his thing. Bottom line is, they try to save this cash cow, you know, get as much bread out of it.
Roger's a smart dude, man. Like, he's one of them dudes. You're not able to say, man, you got to know when you're licked.
Listen, man, my man is trying to take this thing down. He's trying to fully depreciate this asset.
Aha. Yo, Roger don't make it $40 million a year in salary for nothing, man. Roger's a sharp dude. Roger going, and that's probably a little high. I think it's more like 30. But
no, I was actually close to it. It's about 40. You was about right, yeah. Yeah. Roger makes more than everybody in the league. Yo, cats be thinking like, yo, the players make money. Roger make more than all the players.
Yo, he makes $40 million man.
Yo, he make more than NBA players.
Yo, he make more than he make as much as Mike Conley.
I'm about to say, he makes more than the great Mike Conley.
yo, I can't even concentrate when we talk about Mike Conley contract, man. The concussion thing at this point, I think we all know, players, fans, organizations, administrators, owners, that the gravy train, there's a horizon. We've reached a point where there's a horizon. We may not be able to see over that horizon, but there's definitely a horizon. I just arbitrarily picked the year 2050 to say that it's all going to come unhinged then. But realistically, I give the NFL somewhere between, I give it two generations, a generation being 20 years. 2050 and 2060, football will either be gone or it's not going to look anything like what we know it to be. It has to, because of the, I think even concussions now, like there was a time when you could ask a player how many concussions you had, and you were saying, 40, 60. Like, damn. Now cats are like, yo, I've had 4 concussions. I got to retire. I can't take anymore. You know what I'm saying? Right. And so, like, people are realizing.
That just goes to show you that the NFL, like I said, from a business standpoint, was right for hiding that information. Because once the information got out there, cats was like, yo, I'm out. I mean, you know, I've been on this way for a couple of years now. The NFL is on its way out. I think it's going to be looked at sort of like old gladiator sports. Like, yo, y'all used to do that? Y'all used to fight to death?
Yeah.
Y'all used to throw up a ball, then try to kill the person that caught it? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Kill the cat.
And the hits and the plays that we love are the ones that are the absolute most violent.
Like,
yo, shout out to
car accidents.
Yo, shout out to my man Bam Bam Cam, Rodney McLeod, and that hit on Emmanuel Sanders. That was crazy. I mean, those are the things that stick in your mind.
Yo,
those are the ones.
You know, I saw Emmanuel Sanders' spirit float to the top of the stadium, and a fan jumped up and caught it for him.
Yo, when that boy hit Deshaun Jackson, all his game left his body. Like, his spirit left his body. Yo, he knocked the talent out of Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah, he ain't going to cross that middle no more.
No more.
All right, so
Deshaun Jackson comes into camp and says, "I'm not running this route. I'm not running this route. I'm not running this route. Take that out of the playbook.
Ball got the talent knocked out of him."
All right, so the NFL investigation concludes that Jimmy's quarterback, Peyton Manning, his former quarterback, did not use PEDs. that's what the study concluded.
Nobody cares. He's gone now. Who cares?
True or not. Yeah, he gone. So shout out to
the question that I have is, did he put his nards on that lady's head?
Oh, that's factual. That's factual. He just tried to dismiss that off of, you know, to being a young dude. I was young, you know. I used to put my nards on people. That's before I matured.
Okay,
the crazy part about camp, the big news, the big story the night before training camps open was the fact that the Jets and their 6-month stalemate with Ryan Fitzpatrick finally ended to the tune of a 1-year, $12 million fully guaranteed deal. You said mediocrity. You don't think it was a good move for the Jets?
No, I think it was a great move. When you look at the landscape,
shout out to Phil Maddox, because we're talking about the Jets
free agency, and not his Niners, because the Niner hasn't retired early this week. But yeah, I think that it was a great move, because when you look at the free agency landscape at the position and the talent that's out there, you know, it's only about, I don't know, Michael Vick. They could have brought Michael Vick back, and so.
Still trying.
He ain't retired. They making documentaries about him, so they trying to give him a hint. It's time to go.
Mike's still trying to rebuild his fortune.
That's a nice hint, man. Yo, shout the Marcus Vic, though. You know why?
Yo, for getting arrested and running from the cops. I think that I think Fitzpatrick is. I said mediocrity describing as the adjective for him. I actually think he's better than mediocrity. I mean, there are seasons that he puts together where you're like, this guy can ball.
I think inconsistent would be the word.
But erratic, inconsistent, because 18
and it's not
months
a game to game thing. The season to 18, season. Thing.
18 months into his tenure at any stop, yo, he turns into a pumpkin, man. And he's, like, quietly, on the low, he's a Brett Favre disciple. He's one of Brett Favre's sons because he thinks his arm is stronger than it is. So he starts making all types of erratic decisions because he's from Harvard and he's smart enough to read the field 55 ways. And so he turns into a pumpkin. But I what else was out there? And he's getting paid below the unreasonable contracts that some of these mediocre guys did get. So I think it's okay. I think it's all right.
All I got to say is Mike Conley making 3 times that amount next year.
I think the Jets covered themselves well with this, because, first of all, it's only a one-year deal.
Yo, we talking about the Jets.
I saw a couple of fans surprised by the fully guaranteed part, but it's only $12 million.
Yo,
generally, when you have contracts, they're more than 1 year, and the first year to 1 to 3 years are the ones that are fully guaranteed in the first place. So this is nothing new. This is basically status quo, especially for a 1-year deal.
Y'all can tell Dev got bread. That's that plantation talk. I mean, it ain't nothing but $12 million. Damn.
But listen to this. Like, he's in a class all by himself, and that's like literally. there's no quarterback in the league that makes what he makes. It's like every other quarterback in the league is either making less than $8 million a year or more than $16 million a year. So, you know, he's not on par with any market value.
He got the mediocre mic money.
he's literally middle of the pack. He has middle of the pack money. Yeah. Literally.
And that's what he is. So I'm cool. Like, yo, I'm cool with the deal, man. I don't think there's really anything to criticize.
They can still look for their future. They can still see if they have their future on the roster because he only has a 1-year deal. So if he stinks it up after he gets paid, you know, they can always move on without a significant cap hit.
There's a big component to this story, and I don't think that Dev's going to bring it up. So it's incumbent upon me to do so. Geno is angry.
Geno ugly.
Geno Smith is. Geno Smith is angry that the Jets would go and do this. What do y'all got to say about Geno?
I mean, you didn't get your spot back last year because of the dude. Like, why would you think they wouldn't do this? If the Jets felt that they owed Geno Smith anything, when he came back from getting lumped up last year, he would have had his spot back, regardless of what Fitzpatrick was doing. But that's not the case, Geno. You gotta earn this, man. You haven't done anything in this league to earn what you're talking about.
Geno, all I gotta say is you will get an opportunity because this is the NFL and you play the quarterback position. So, you know, you can fail here, but it's gonna be a coach that's gonna think he's smarter than what he is.
Look how many opportunities Mike Vick has had.
You got it.
Yo, but listen, I just want to ask you, brothers, about one more thing before we get out of here. And this is a little disappointing to me, and I know it is to B. Austin as well, because we were rooting for this dude. Not to say that it's over, but it's pretty much over. Nick Foles has been released. Really, he was granted his release because after the Rams drafted Jared Goff, he got into his feelings a little bit. He actually took a pay cut on some of the guaranteed money in his contract to be able to be granted his release. So now Nick Foles is back on the market looking for a team that he can fit in with. Do you guys see anything in the future for Nick Foles, or is he going to be known as that 1-year wonder?
Yeah, he's going to Kansas City to sit around and collect a check for a while. That's where I see it happening. Wouldn't totally rule out the Eagles, although I don't think they would really bring him back. I'm disappointed as well because I was a Foles supporter, and even more so, I'm disappointed because I like to tout how often I'm correct and how often I'm right. And if he don't pan out, then that means I was wrong, and I'm never wrong. So I'm hopeful that he is able to get it back on track. I saw in him what I believe is a quality top 15 guy in the NFL. That's what I saw. You know, that ain't hard to be in here, but still.
No,
I mean,
I'm saying 15. You said that. All right, now this has nothing to do with this young man. So you're saying it was 10 more quarterbacks better than Cam, but you saw Foles as being a top 15 guy. So you kind of think. Okay,
I never really saw Cam throw 27.
That year that he had, he might have been better than Cam that year.
That year he had wasn't better than Cam last year.
But then Cam had an MVP year, so he has to move back up the meter a little bit.
Foles,
I'm pretty sure Foles moved down your meter last year. Cam may have moved up
a little bit.
Foles looked like he didn't know how to play football when he was in St. Louis last season.
Yo, Foles got benched last year for a dude. I don't even remember dude's name he got benched for. Like, I think he got benched
dude
for somebody.
Don't remember his own name.
He got benched for dude. Foles, he got benched for dude. That's dude's name. Dude.
Foles got benched for a dude the coach found at Home Depot the morning of the game.
Yo, the bull wasn't playing football.
He got benched for a scab player, man.
Yo, they signed him and he ended up starting.
I just think he got such a raw deal from the Eagles that I just wanted them to succeed, man.
But can we blame this on Chip Kelly?
Right now, he sucks. He ain't succeeding. He just
yo sucks. Random thought though. I think that might be like in terms of hip hop, that might be the one line that's like the most relatable line out of any hip hop song ever.
Damn, homie.
Yo,
high school you was a man, homie.
What happened to you? Yo.
How ironic would it be if he get picked up by the 49ers though? Come on,
yo,
Chip Kelly.
Come on, be, Chip Kelly. That would be hilarious. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
all
we
right,
talk
so.
Jets. We might as well talk a little Niners.
Shout out to
old Martin episode. I don't know if the producer is telling us to wrap it up or trying to land a 747. But Jimmy, you ready to take us out of here?
Yo, shout out to Marty Marr, man. Yeah, man. Yo, everybody who listens to the show on the podcast or listen live, we appreciate it. Thank everybody. Yo, shout out to Fred Perdue for calling as well. And Tobias, man, you brought that fire tonight, man. Shout out to you. Everybody, tune in next week live right here on demand on the WRS Podcast Network. You know, we'll have more news from NFL training camps. And that's going to be crazy because, yo, the NFL don't waste no time, man. Like, yo, you talk about people getting locked up, injuries, people retiring. NFL wastes no time. So we're going to have a lot of talk about that. Enjoy your week. We'll see you right back here next time. And it will be on Thursday, hopefully. Be sure to catch all of our conversations on Facebook, Twitter, our blogs, webcasts. Everything we do can be found at warroomsports.com. Make sure to share that with a friend and tell your friend to share that with one of their friends. Warroomsports.com. Also, pick up my book, Sports the Book. You can find it at sportsthebook.com or warroomsports.com. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity, which is a Ryan Fitzpatrick contract. And be steadfast in the war against ignorance, and we'll see you chumps
Andy
on top. Andy
Toe, we going to see you. It ain't going to be on top.
Jimmy, know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, be Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarroomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323-14-0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-Flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.